Matthew 16:24. And we're going to read three verses. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this beautiful day. God, I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the sunshine. No matter what's going on outside, God, I know that you know that we need it. I ask you to be with our pastor today, help him to heal, Lord, to where he can be here and be ready to preach next Sunday, Lord. I ask you to be with him and his family, keep him strong throughout this. And, Lord, I ask you to be with my son, Tank, as he got on the bus this morning to go to the National Guard camp. I ask you to watch over him and keep him strong, Lord. And, God, I ask you to be with everybody in this service, Lord. Open their hearts and open their minds toward that. When you give me the words, Lord, that it'll fill them up inside, and they'll be ready to spread the gospel when they walk out these doors. God, I ask you to be with me and let me preach what you want preached. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. How would you guys have liked to have lived when Jesus lived? I've heard a lot of people say, I believe if I could have lived and seen Jesus, and if I could have seen those miracles performed, I believe I could be a better Christian. Well, you know, the scriptures are against that, if you ever hear anybody say that. Because most of the people who lived during Jesus' time, even the ones who followed him, Brother Don, they turned their back on him. The closer that he got to that old rugged cross, the smaller the crowd around him became. Amen. Religion turned its back on him, and it turned its back fast. In fact, religion built the old rugged cross. Religion never has been a friend of God. Amen. We can say amen. Many around him saw a lot of things, and some saw everything that he did, but they still did not believe. Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, and he even made them statements in the Bible. In a number of instances, Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said in the scripture text that we got right here, and I'm only going to use the first little bit of this, in Matthew 16:24, he said, if any man will come after me, and that is going to be our focus today, if any man will come after me, which means that we do have the honor and the privilege of following Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm not going to be too critical today, or I try not to be any critical today, of people who like to travel around the world. But I tell you, I wish I had some of the money that they've spent going to where Jesus used to be. There's a lot of people that likes to do that. And, you know, it probably is not too bad. But Jesus didn't say, I will that they be with me where I have been. He didn't say that. He said, I will that they be with me where I am. Amen. That is the scripture. We can amen that. That's present tense. When you are where Jesus is, things are going on. Things are going to happen. And I'll promise you this, that Jesus wants us where he is right now. He loves us. And he wants us with him. And I can tell you right now, if Brother Doug was here right now, he would say amen to that one right there. Because listen, there's nobody that I know that wants to be where Jesus is as much as Doug Doss. Putting himself in harm's way, giving part of his liver to someone because God wanted him to. You think God's there? Absolutely. God is at the Cleveland Clinic. God is at the little house right up the road where he's been healing for 40 days. God's right up here up in Taze Valley where he lives right now, touching his body. God's right here at Word of Light. No matter where it is, Doug Doss wants to be where God is. How about you today? How about you? And if I were to title my sermon, it would be, I would have liked to have been there. I would have liked to have been there. Now I'm just going to go through some of the places that I'd have liked to have been. I picked out some of my favorite times in the Bible. And if you guys will bear with me, some of the places in Jesus' life. One of the first places I'd like to have been with Him would be, it would have been when Mary and Joseph rode, or Mary rode into Bethlehem and Joseph walked in. I wish I could have walked in with them. Being in the presence of those two, but in the presence of Jesus, because He was there. He might not have been born yet, but He was there. When they arrived in Bethlehem, and this town was just bustling, it was full, it was packed, and there was no room. The Bible said that there was no room for them at the inn. If it hadn't been for God in heaven, they couldn't have even found a manger. That's a fact. The place was packed. I'm sure there was probably people sleeping on the streets. It was so full. The little town of Bethlehem. A lot of times we feel sorry for Mary going to the manger. Let me tell you something. That's where God planned for her to go. Amen? She found the right place. And I've heard people say, it looks to me like God could have fixed them a hospital. And I tell you, He could have. He could have. I have enough faith to believe that God could have dropped the golden hospital down with all the lights of glory to brighten up that delivery room. He could have sent 1,000 angels down as nurses to nurse Him. He could have sent a heavenly doctor right down from heaven to make sure everything was okay when He was born. But He didn't. He didn't have to. He could let Jesus be born right there in Bethlehem's little manger, and all of them be all in perfect health. Listen, church, that's how big our God is. Amen. Amen. We're awful quiet today. I'm going to preach if y'all don't start amening now. I'd have liked to have been there when the shepherds were out on the hill and they heard that heavenly choir sing. Oh, one shepherd might have said, have you ever heard anything like this? I would have liked to have been there when the wise men said, say, look at that star. We'd better go follow that star. And that star led them to the bright and morning star, and that's Jesus. There were some things going on that night, but the world didn't know about it. The world don't even know today, and that's been over 2,000 years since Jesus was born. That's one mother that didn't send out any announcements. But heaven sent out some announcements. God sent some angels down. And He said, go down and sing to that bunch of shepherds and tell them something great has happened. The Bible says, it says, behold, today there is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds left their sheep and He said, we'd better go and see this little baby. The wise men, they got an announcement. And the morning star gave them their announcement. It led them right to Jesus Christ. The greatest night the world has ever known was the night that that little baby, Jesus, was laid in the arms of that sweet little teenage mommy. God came down and manifested Himself in flesh. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, church, I'd have liked to have been there when He was a little boy. When He was a little boy, I'm going to say about 12 years old. Now listen, 12-year-old boys today, most of them are a lot of trouble. But Christ was a little bit different. He was different, church. At the age of 12, He was sitting, and listen, this is one of my favorite times. I'd have loved to have seen this. At the age of 12, He was sitting with the scribes and the lawyers and the doctors and the writers of the day, and He really got involved in discussing great matters with them. And I'd have liked to have heard them old boys and saw their ears kind of perked up and listened to what He was saying, and maybe one of them said, well, whose kid is this anyway? How does he know more than me? Where did this boy even come from? They didn't know it, but they were talking to God in the flesh. Amen. Think about it. God was 12 years old as far as his physical body was concerned, and yet he had every single one of them tore up inside. He was touching the very depths of their hearts, and he can do the same for us today. They didn't know that he was the Son of God, the one who made the sun, the one who made the moon and the stars. He was and is and always will be the Messiah. Amen. I wouldn't want to swap my state, not the state of West Virginia, but the state that I'm in this time in my life for anybody's or any other time, because I've had the opportunity to get saved. But sometimes, and listen, church, I'm going to say this, sometimes I'm not satisfied. The Lord knows that I get troubled in my soul, and I was thinking, even this morning, sitting on the couch, and I'm sitting here and I'm reading the Scriptures, and I was thinking, as I walked where Jesus walked in the Scriptures, and we can do that. That's what I'm trying to get across to us today. We can be where He is, but we can be where He's been by just reading the Scriptures. But as I walked with Him, and I started thinking about how much He did in 3 years, and I start thinking about how little I've done, in over 20 years. And I started thinking about it, and then the Holy Spirit came over to me and He said, "Listen, John, listen, just do everything in faith in Christ Jesus, and it'll last. It'll last. The devil may hinder you, and he may hinder what you're doing. And some of us might even fight it, but we'll never in this world defeat what God is doing. We'll never defeat the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Jesus never did start across a lake that He didn't make it across. Have you ever read it in the Bible? If it didn't say it, it didn't happen. He never did start one thing that He didn't finish. He finished everything. In Bethlehem's manger, He started the work of salvation, of redemption for each one of us, for our souls. And listen, church, on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And that's what He was talking about, Brother Don. That plan was finished. We have a finished salvation. Amen. Amen. Can we say amen? Everybody, amen. Oh, wow, that sounded so good. When Jesus entered His public ministry, church, and I'd have liked to have been there when I think He was walking over to the Jordan River, and I believe the Scripture says that John the Baptist looked a ways off and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." I'd have liked to have been there to see Him coming. Maybe early in the morning and the sun shining around Him as He walked down. What a beautiful sight that must have been. But I'd have liked to have heard these words. When Jesus said, "John, I'm ready to be baptized right now." Wow. Wow. John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And you come to me?" He felt that John should baptize him. He felt that John should baptize him. And John had not been baptized in water, but had received the heavenly baptism. And Jesus said, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then Jesus walked off over into the Jordan, and He was baptized. What a beautiful sight that must have been. He didn't get out there in the water to be saved. And I might be stepping on some people's toes, but He didn't go out there to be saved. What did He have to be saved from? He had never sinned. He wasn't being baptized in order to join Word of Light Community Church or some church up and down the road here. He didn't. Jesus is the head of the church. The main thing that happened that day was that the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came down upon Jesus. And until that day, when He was about 30 years old, He had never performed one single miracle. But He was just as much God before He was baptized as He was after He was baptized. Jesus Christ subjected Himself willingly to the work of the Holy Spirit, just like you and I ought to when we are saved and when we're baptized. And just as much as you and I can do nothing for God and cannot live in a miraculous life until we get saved, even so, Jesus subjected Himself to the work of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came down as a dove, He didn't come down as a vulture, church. He didn't come down as a vulture. He came down as a sweet dove, as a mourning dove. And we'll never mourn, and we'll never groan, and we'll never weep over a lost world until that dove comes down upon each one of us. That Holy Spirit protects His children. Now listen, people say, and I hear it all the time, it's getting so bad. Have you watched the news? Everything's getting so bad. I don't believe I'm going to be able to make it. I'm telling you that you can make it if you have the dove living down inside. Amen. When Jesus walked out of that baptistry of the Jordan River, what a wonderful place. What a wonderful picture that could have been. Oh, wow, and the clouds opened up. And God on high said, "That's my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What a wonderful time, church. If we read the Scripture, we can be right there with Jesus. When He walked out of the Jordan, I'd have liked to have made that little trip with Him, because He left there, Brother Don, and He went over into the wilderness. And He met up with somebody in the wilderness, and that was Satan. He met up with the devil in the wilderness. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there just to see this? Listen, church, there was a battle that was being fought right out there in the wilderness, right after He had been baptized. And as far as I'm concerned today, that was the spiritual battle of Armageddon that was being fought right there in that wilderness. Listen, that proved to me that I can also have victory over the devil. Each one of us can. If Jesus whipped the devil then, He can whip him today. Amen. Amen. If Jesus whipped him then, and Jesus is in your heart, and He's in my heart now, then He can whip him right now. Amen. I like using that word whip. That's pretty cool. Now listen, guys, this was before Jesus was crucified, before He was risen from the dead, before He did any miracles. If Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, could whoop the devil with the Word of God, then He can do it for each one of us right now. And that's the only hope we have at making it. That's our hope. Now let me make another stop here. I'd have liked to have been with Jesus when He went to the land of Gadaree. There was a man there that the world had decreed hopeless. And I guess more people had prayed for him to die than to live. I don't know exactly why the people didn't just go ahead and kill him, except that God didn't permit them to. He had bruises on his body, self-inflicted cuts and wounds. He had marks all over himself. He was chained down. He was a crazy man running loose in the tombs. And he was a dead man spiritually. Listen, if any of us are lost and undone today, we are in this exact same condition. At one time, I was that man in the tombs. At one time, I was, Brother Don, and my chains fell off when I met a man by the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus cast the devils out of him because He didn't want the devil to possess a man who needed to be free. And listen, church, He wants all of us to be free today. You people who are possessed with an addiction of alcohol, an addiction of drugs, or tobacco usage, or any kind of addiction today. Listen, He wants to set you free. Now listen what He did for this guy. He put some clothes on him and He gave him his right mind. Made him whole and sent him back home for a home missionary. Wow. Wow, that is awesome. I would have liked to have been there when this took place. When Jesus got in the boat to go back, the possessed man who was now healed at this time and was in his right mind and was safe and saved and blessed did exactly what every one of us ought to do. He said, "Lord, suffer me to be with you." But Jesus said, "Go show these great things that I have done for you. You've shown off a lot of times, but I want you to go show what I have done for you." Listen, church, if He's done something for you, He wants you to show people what He's done. He wants you to tell people what He's done for you. I'd have liked to have gone home with that fella. How about you guys? Listen, what a homecoming that would have been. I see him walking straight, a big old smile flooding his face, and the glory of God down deep in his soul. He walked up maybe up on his porch and his wife and his children maybe inside with the doors locked. They probably got a little bit of surprise when he said, Honey, I'm home. And I'm glad I'm home right now. Open up. I won't hurt you anymore." I've got to tell you about a man that I met, and his name was Jesus. I wish you could have met him too, but I can introduce you to him by remote control, even in those days. I have him living in here right now. How about you? Can you just see him going in and giving his wife a great big old hug? And tears of compassion maybe rolling down his scarred and bruised up face as it rolled down, them tears rolling down, and maybe them little kids looking out from under the bed, maybe peeking their heads out from the closet, come running out and saying, "Daddy, Daddy, I want a hug too." I'd have liked to have been there. And that's what Jesus does for people. Listen, you can be addicted. You can be addicted to alcohol, to all these different things, to drugs, alcohol, all these different addictions. Listen, He'll set you free to a point that when you come home, there's somebody there to hug you up tight. Amen. I'd have liked to have been there when a lot of things happen. But one more time, I'd have liked to visit with Jesus, with you guys, if it's okay. And this is the Pike's Peak of my experience with Jesus reading through the Bible, even though I don't deserve to. But when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, in the garden, and a lot of times if I preach on the garden, I have my wife sing a song. It's called In the Garden, and I think it's one of the most beautiful songs in the world. When Jesus prayed in the garden, I'd have liked to have heard Him groan. I'd have liked to have heard Him moan under the load of sin of the world, saying, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." I'd have liked to have been there on that dark night when He prayed. And then when He went up Golgotha's hill, there wasn't many people that were going with Him who loved Him, church. They were all right there, a jerking on His beard and a beating and a spitting on Him. But if I could have been living at that time, and God would have given me the courage and the grace, I would have liked to have been along in that crowd. And you're saying, "Why, John? Why?" I'd have liked to have seen the very experience that it took to save an old wretched sinner like me. I believe I could have imagined the depths of my sin just a little better. If I could have seen how deep them old roots of sin had went in my life and what my Savior had to go through, how He had to suffer, how He had to bleed and die in order to redeem just one person. But He did it for the world. I'd have liked to have seen when His rugged, wonderful, sweet, precious, tear-stained face with blood running down through His beard as He died for my sins on Calvary. I'd have liked to be there. I wouldn't have liked to have been there like Simon Peter or Judas Iscariot, either one of those, or some of the rest of them that had turned their backs on Him and had left or had lied and said they wasn't even part of Him. That's the reason I'm not saying I just wanted to be there, unless God had given me the grace to stand and to stand with Him. But oh, what an experience. Listen, church, I can see and hear those old hammers as they begin to drive those nails in through His blessed hands, the greatest hands of mercy that had ever lifted souls from sin. Those hands that broke the bread, that fed maybe 15 or 20,000 and He didn't even charge Him a dime. Those hands that had reached over and put His hands down. Those hands that had touched those little children on the heads and had blessed them. Those hands, listen, that church, that had laid themselves on no man's land over in the leper's land. And they had all went away dancing and running and shouting that they had been cleaned and they were healed, church. Those hands and those feet that walked in mercy when they were too tired to walk. I'd have liked to have been there. How about you? I'd have liked to have been there when those nails were driven through. But I wouldn't have wanted to leave until the third day. Amen. I'd like to have been sitting around that old campfire that cool morning that some people call Easter and we celebrate it as Easter. When those brave soldiers, listen, church, they were brave. They were willing to give their life for their country. And when those brave soldiers, 16 of them strong with swords and spears and shields, and they were well prepared to take care of that lowly Nazarene, should anybody come and try to get him out of the grave, there wasn't one of those Roman soldiers who came out there in order to see him get out of the grave. Their job was to keep him in the grave. They didn't have any idea he would rise under the stream and power of blood of the everlasting Son of God. Had they known that, they wouldn't have volunteered to serve on this capacity. They would have probably been way too scared, because those people in those days were very superstitious men. They wouldn't have been out there because they were just because they were getting paid for guarding the tomb. And I don't think they were very afraid of that little bunch of Christians that had dwindled down to hardly nothing when he went to the cross. They had thinned down nearly to nothing. But these men were in for a surprise and a shock on that third day. And I would have liked to have been there at about daybreak when one of those brave soldiers maybe looked up and looked over and raised his eyebrows and said, "Am I seeing things? Am I seeing what's going on here?" But somehow his hand didn't even go toward his sword. The Roman seal, which represented church at that day, represented all the power in the world at that time, just cracked open. And God's eternal Son stepped out of the grave. And these 16 men fell back as dead men. They didn't die, but it just made them pass out. There were some great experiences in the life of Christ. But I'm going to close this message by saying, Chris, go ahead and get ready with the song. I'm going to close this message by saying, I would like to be here when He comes again. I would like to be at Word of Light Church, singing and praising His holy name when He comes again. Of all the experiences that you can think of, just sitting here, and in a twinkling of an eye, we're gone. Think of us floating up through the air, singing, "I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away." What a wonderful time. Listen, that'll be the greatest power lift of all time. And listen, if any of you guys are on a cloud with me, we're going to be shouting all the way home too. Ain't going to be none of this sitting quiet. No. Amen. We're going to be standing and we're going to be shouting all the way. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what we all should have been waiting on. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more people being blind or deaf or scarred or any of those things. No more deaths. No more cemeteries. We're on our way home. Wow. Does that not make you excited? That makes me want to run. But I'm going to stay a little calm this morning. There's never been a generation, and I've heard Doug say it, and I've heard many people say it, there's never been a generation that's lived so close to the coming of the Lord as right now. As right now, as we're sitting here right now, you ought to be excited. It could be any second. I ask you one question. Are you ready for Him to come back? Have you trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior? Jesus is willing and able, and as that one song says, He is mighty to save. Amen. If you'll just put your trust in Him. He has a lot of things in store for each one of us. And I'd have liked to have been there with Jesus through His lifetime, through those instances that I talked about. But listen, church, I can be there in the Scripture, but there's one time that I am going to be there, and that's when the saints go marching in. I don't know about you. Listen, I'm going to say again, if you don't know Him today, and I'm finished with my sermon. If you don't know Him, there's no better place to be than Word of Light Community Church. You don't have to jump around on one foot. You don't have to say these certain words. You can do it sitting right in your seat. But accept Him today. Be ready, because the time is here. My Bible says it's high time for us to get ready. That's my sermon today.